against me. So tell me whom then, tell me whom then shall I fear? He has prepared for me great works he'll help me to complete. I have a hope, I have this hope. Goodness and mercy, they're gonna follow me, and I'll forever dwell in the house of my great King. No eye has ever seen all he's preparing there for me. Though trials may come, I have this hope. I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God. I will yet praise him, my great Redeemer. I will yet stand up and give him glory with my life. He takes my darkness and he turns it into light. I will yet praise him, my Lord, my God. There's still hope for me today. Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, 'cause I knew my Lord had control. Well, I knew I was walking in the light, 'cause I'd been on my knees in the night. And I prayed till the Lord gave a sign, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I want to go with a mead and honey flow? There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven, heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling, feeling mighty fine.
How many of you are wore out after the Christmas holidays? Some of you are lying, because I'm wore out. But you know what? We're in the God's house, and man, we've just celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, and we've just celebrated or just sung about hope, so we ought to be fine this morning, amen? So we're going to sing that second verse again. When we get to that chorus, you can move a little bit. I promise you'll be okay. Pat your foot, clap your hands. Can we do that in the Baptist church?
Yeah. Okay.
Hallelujah.
I've been walking with Jesus all the time. We're walking and talking as we climb. We're traveling a road to the sky, where I know I'll live till I die. He's been telling me all about that land, and he tells me that everything is grand. And he says that a home will be mine, and now I'm feeling mighty fine.
Here we go.
Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I want to go with a mead and honey flow? There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven, heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling, feeling mighty fine. I'm in love with my Savior, and he's in love with me. He has been from day to day. What a friend is he. Watches over me while I sleep, hears me when I pray. I am happy as I can be, and now I can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. You'll be happy if you will let Jesus have his way. He has work for us all to do every passing day. Feed the hungry and cheer the sad, for the sinners pray. You'll have a joy that you never had, then you can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. that somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. Then at last when our work is done, he will call us home to a mansion he has prepared, never more to roam. We'll sit down by the riverside, cares all passed away, and with never a pain to bear, what a happy day. Somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine, that somebody is Jesus and I know he's mine. Somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine, that somebody is Jesus and I know he's mine. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame, he touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened.
See you. Happy belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year right around the corner. We're finishing up 2021 in the right way, being right here in God's house this morning, and so glad that you're here. We look forward to a good worship hour. We've already had a good Sunday school hour. Let me just take time to thanks, just kind of a blanket thanks to everybody that gave Trish and I cards and gifts, and somebody left an anonymous gift card for us to go out and eat on our my desk, and I don't know who that is, so thank you, every one of you, for blessing your pastor and his wife this Christmas season. We have visitors here this morning. Want to welcome you, want you to feel at home in God's house, and one of the ushers will probably come by if you're a first-time visitor and hand you a visitor's packet. If you just take the card in that packet and fill it out, let it in your pew, drop it in the plate on your way out, however you want to do that. It just lets us know who you are, okay? And so appreciate you being here. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer and get this started right, okay? Terry Sackett, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please, sir?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Thank you.
Baby, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That your baby boy calmed the storm with his hands. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels cry? When you've kissed the baby, you've kissed the face of God.
So grateful that you came to this old world 2,000 years ago. You lived here as a man. You experienced hardships. You experienced hunger. You experienced gladness. You experienced joy just as we experience it. You tell us in the book of Hebrews that you can relate to our pain and you can relate to our joy because you experienced it in the same way. God, you went to a cross, and on that cross you died for our sins. God, my desire this morning is if there's one here that has never truly invited you to come into their heart and save them, God, I pray that today would be that day. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today through our preacher, Brother Chris. You put a message upon his heart, and God, you knew everybody that was going to be here this morning, and you gave him a message just for us. God, I pray that we'd open our hearts and would receive what you have for us today. God, I pray that you'd move and do what only you could do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. Nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Light of the world, you step into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became born. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I
given us together here in your house. We appreciate your church and your people and their faithfulness. We thank you, Lord God, that we have visitors here with us this morning, those that have come with their family or maybe somebody that's just driven by and seen our church. But whatever the case is, we're glad they're here, Father, and I pray that you'll make them feel welcome and feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. We ask, God, as we look into your word, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll teach us. God, as we go into a new year, and we wrap this one up. We give thanks for what's been done. And Lord, we seek your wisdom and your guidance for what will be done and what will be accomplished in the coming year. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your birthday. We thank you for what that means to us, Lord, that you came and you lived so you could die, that our sins might be forgiven. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. And we ask now over the next few moments that you'll bless your people. Those that are not here, there are many people not here this morning, wherever they may be, God, that you'll bless their day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, I was looking in my notes, and I preached on this particular text 21 years ago, year 2000. I was a young preacher back then, and I noticed that I'd preached on this very text. This is basically, the text hasn't changed, but the preacher has, so maybe this would be a bit different. Isaiah chapter 9, have you ever been to a birthday party of someone you never met? Probably not. That would be an odd thing to do. But the truth is, millions and millions of people do that very thing from year to year at Christmas time. Not only do they attend the celebration of Jesus' birth, but they go to great lengths to help plan for the celebration. People decorate and they buy gifts and they schedule family get-togethers and they cook and they have office parties and class parties at school and they sing songs and they send cards, and all of this is done each year at Christmas time. And a greater percentage of the people that are doing it don't even know the one whose birth is being celebrated. Now, most people, if you ask them from a technical standpoint, they would say, yeah, they're acquainted with the story of baby Jesus being born, and they would acknowledge the fact that the holiday finds its origins in that story. But as they celebrate it, they don't truly know Jesus. Well, I hope that's not you this morning, but if it is you this morning, you never truly come to know the Lord Jesus and do not know Him as your personal Savior, I hope that that will change. I'm going to take us back now, or the Bible takes us back 27 centuries in time. It's going to be 700 years before the birth of Christ, and we're going to read the words of the prophet Isaiah, and in this one verse, he's going to give us a birth announcement. I want you to notice verse 6. What he starts out saying. He says, "For unto us a child is born." We do this quite often in our society today. We send out cards, usually inviting someone to a baby shower. It's a notification, if you will, that so-and-so is going to have a baby. In a nutshell, it's a birth announcement. By the way, I'm going to have a new grandbaby too. Y'all want to guess who it is? Just three of them. You got a 33% chance of getting it right. Megan and Riley are going to have new babies, so that's exciting. Yeah, that's our Christmas gift this year. So nonetheless, in a nutshell, it's a birth announcement, okay? So Isaiah, what he's doing here is he is announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he doesn't call him by the name Jesus, and actually he calls him by several names in this verse. And in this way, Isaiah is describing to us the Lord in advance. He's using these names to tell us about the child that's going to be born. And so quickly, I would like to go over each of these names, and perhaps if you're within the sound of my voice and you're one of those people that have not met Jesus, that have not come to know Him, well, maybe this will be the very thing that introduces you to Him this morning. In the first verse 6 again, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." When we hear the word wonderful, we think of something that amazes us. We think of something that creates wonder in our minds. And if we just start with our salvation alone, and we stop and consider all that's involved with us being children of God, all that is involved with us being saved this morning, it truly will astonish us. Here we are, little minute specks of life that occupy a tiny space in a vast expanse of the universe, and we make a little tiny brief appearance in all the annals of history, just one person among billions of people who have lived on this earth, but yet God knows each one of us. He knows each detail. He knows about everything in our life. He knows about our cares. He knows about our concerns. He knows about our tendencies. He knows about our weaknesses. He knows about our strengths. And because through Jesus we've been saved, we belong to Him. It's truly a wonder of wonders when you can say, "I am a child of God." John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. Friends, if that don't blow your mind, you don't have much mind to work with, I'm afraid. King David said it like this in Psalms 139, verse 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain to it, he says. In other words, he's saying, it's more than I can process, this whole idea of God knowing me and who I am. And you know, sometimes myself, it's more than I can fathom. But then other times, I'm afraid, I lose that sense of wonder. Yeah. I've been at this so long. I've become so familiar with the things of God that it doesn't pack the punch that it used to, I'm sad to say. And we tend to forget where we came from, and soon it's old hat, ho-hum, here we go again. And what a sad thing for us Christians to do. Because God is not any less wonderful today than He was the day that He saved us. In fact, we should become more amazed, more astonished, as we grow each day in the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him. Amen. I think the key words there is those that love Him. If our love for God begins to wane, then our wonder will begin to wane. If our love for God intensifies, well, so will our amazement of God intensify. You know, I love my wife. And because I love her so much, I often stare at her and I recognize her beauty and I appreciate it. And I think how lucky I am and how fortunate I am for her to be my wife. And I consider sometimes her people skills and her work ethic and her big heart and her generous spirit. And I think about how she loves this church as much as I love this church. And I think about the fact that she loves ministry as much as I love ministry. And I think to myself how blessed I am and how fortunate. Amen. All of these things make me love her more and more. You know, the same thing should be with God. The more we love Him, the more we should stand in wonder. And the more we stand in wonder, the more we should love Him. Amen. He truly is wonderful. The next one we find in this verse, he says that His name is Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is someone who advises us. Someone who gives us direction. Someone we can consult when we don't know what to do next. And folks, never before have we seen such confusion as we see in the world today. We live in a planet gone mad. So much confusion. We've gotten so far away from the truth. Sometimes something as simple as gender has us confused today. It's not a difficult thing. It's not a multiple choice. It's either He is or she is. Okay? And God gave us the answer at birth, and we still get it wrong. Folks, we're confused. We need God's counsel in this world. We need the Word of God. We need His influence. We need to hear from Him. And that's where the answers are. But sometimes, almost our whole society is of the mindset that God's answers are too clear. They're too straightforward. They're too direct. They don't have the flexibility that we're looking for in our lives where we can do what we want. It binds us and it makes too much demands upon us. And it just makes it too hard to have fun. What foolishness. So His counsel goes out the window, and what's left is absolute confusion. And that's what we see all around us. But friends, for you and I, it doesn't have to be that way. Do you want to know what the key to peace and tranquility in this chaotic and confused world? You know what the key is? It's letting God be your counselor. Amen. Letting God tell you what to do next. The Bible says He is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14:33. If we will seek Him, He will direct our path. He will order our steps. He will give us a clear plan for our lives. He will help and guide us through the confusion around us. And folks, that is where peace and tranquility come from, is knowing what you're doing, knowing where you're going, knowing your path in this crazy world. Confusion is stressful, folks. I don't know about you, but if I'm confused, if everything's in disarray, it's stressful. There's no stress when you seek God's counsel. It's black and white. He gives you direction, and you know what you're doing, regardless of what the news says, regardless of what the guy next to you is doing, no matter how crazy this world is, you have that sense of knowing what you're doing, and that takes the stress out of life. The next one is Mighty God. He says He's a mighty God. This just speaks of our Lord's limitless power. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that matches the power of God. When it comes to nation, we hear the nations, we hear the words superpower or world power, and it lends to the idea that any nation that is a world power is one that's going to be one of the toughest kids on the block, so to speak. A nation that is a power to be reckoned with. But let me tell you how misguided we are if we think Russia or China or Korea or the UK or even the United States of America, if we think that they are beyond or we are beyond the point of being brought to our knees by God, we're very misguided. I love our nation. I love that flag. But I love God more. God and country is a great thing, but when it comes right down to it, if country abandons God, I'm going with God. It's the way it has to be. Tough times lie ahead for us. I truly believe this. We're refusing to dance with the one that brought us. And it's happening all before our eyes, and if you don't recognize it, that's on you. But we are imploding, collapsing from within as a nation. Morally, economically, socially, politically, we are experiencing catastrophic failure. And it's not noticeable to most people because they listen to the propaganda that's pumped into the airwaves. And they're lulled to sleep by the propped up prosperity that we still experience. But any understanding Christian that's not brainwashed by the media, okay? And when I say media, I mean both sides, conservative or liberal. They all have spin. They all have their own deal, and it's all mostly misguided. But any thinking Christian that's seeking the counsel of God will see that one nation under God is one nation in trouble. We're in trouble, folks. We're imploding. While all the time there are so-called superpowers, Russia, China, that are gaining strength, we are currently considered still, and have been for some time, not for long, I don't think, America is considered the strongest military force on the planet. But Russia is a very, very close second, and China's right behind them. And here's the problem. We are weakening as they gain strength. So what does that mean? It's one of these days we'll wake up and we're the third toughest person on the playground, okay? And the other two don't play nice. Friends, I'm not making predictions, and I'm certainly not a prophet or anything else. I'm here not to tell you about world powers. I'm here to tell you about God's power, and we better get our eyes upon God. He's the mighty one who can turn the king's heart as the rivers of water, as the scripture tells us. If there ever was a time for you and I to be on our knees in prayer for the United States, it's now. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know what? That stands for nations as well. When a nation's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, you won't be assaulted, you won't be brutalized, you won't be defeated by your enemies. If America will get right with God, it's not too late. But if America doesn't get right with God, guess what? You and I as individuals can still be right with God. Amen. And we can recognize that He is a mighty God. And He's mightier than any nation, including the one we live in. The next one is Everlasting Father. I know we all want good leaders, and we want people that in positions that will make wise decisions and take us in the right direction. But regardless of who gets in any office, and regardless of how good they are, they're still simple men or women. They're still fallible, and they're still mortal. What you and I need is an everlasting king. What you and I need is someone who can do something beyond the grave, because one of these days, folks, we're going to go beyond the grave. And Jesus overcame that grave and He rose again. And from that vantage point, He rules His kingdom. And that's where our hope is. When Jesus is your king, friends, everything's going to be all right. Yeah, amen. Yeah, somebody might say, well, everything's not going to be all right. I'm terminally ill. If you know King Jesus, it's still going to be all right. Amen. Somebody might say, well, it's an economic collapse. The inflation, I'm losing my business. How's everything going to be all right? If you know King Jesus, still going to be all right. We might say someday we might wake up and say, we're in the middle of a war. How's everything going to be all right? I'm telling you, if you know King Jesus, it's going to be all right. Everlasting Father is how Isaiah introduced Jesus to us. And there's one more, and then we'll be done. He calls Him the Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but I love peace. I hate conflict. I hate division. I hate turmoil, friction. But in this life, there are going to be those things, and we're going to experience those things. But the Prince of Peace, the title Prince of Peace, is describing what Jesus is and what He will be in His eternal kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom that you and I are able to live in where it's complete eternal peace. Absolutely zero conflict. No arguments, no minor disagreements, not an ounce of prejudice, no politics, no injustice, no racial divisions, no social classes, no nationalities, no political parties. It's all level ground. It's going to be peace. I got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, Trish and I had the greatest blessing in Las Vegas. Won $16,000 at a blackjack table. No. We go to Vegas. We've gone for, I think, like 12 years now to the rodeo. I've never spent a single cent in a casino except for food. But we enjoy seeing friends there. And we go out to National Final Rodeo, but this year it was different. We ended up being there on Sunday this year. First time that's ever happened. We've always been home on Sunday, and I like to be home on Sunday. But nonetheless, we were there on Sunday, and so we didn't know what church to go to. I mean, we've never gone to church in Vegas, so we did a search and just got picked out a Baptist church that was in close proximity to where we were staying, and it was Spring Valley Baptist Church. And friends, after three nights of rodeo and being with friends and eating good and staying in a nice hotel and getting away and getting a little bit of rest, here was the highlight of our trip in that service that morning at that church. You see, when you're a part of a great church, and we are, usually when you go on vacation and you go to church somewhere, a lot of times it's disappointing. Because you just go places, sometimes there's no life, there's no enthusiasm, they don't bring the Word of God. It's a lot of times it's disappointing. But folks, it was totally different. That congregation at Spring Valley Baptist Church blessed me on so many levels, but I'll just share one of them with you and just to help make my point. There was more diversity in that church than I'd ever seen anywhere at any time. All ages, all skin colors, many different, being in Las Vegas, there are many nationalities, all classes of people. It was just a mix of everything. And the auditorium was packed, and the people were so friendly, and they had so much joy and enthusiasm, and you could feel the love of God there, and there was life, and the Spirit of God was moving in that church that morning. And I thought to myself, this is what heaven's going to be like right here. There wasn't any social Christianity at that church that I could pick up on, where we just go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. Where the white congregations go over here to this church and the black congregations attend over at this church and the polished people maybe go over here and the down and out people assemble over here. There was none of that. You see, Jesus Christ was the common denominator amongst those people. And even though it was Sin City, it was still the Lord's day, and they were in the house of God worshiping Him. Yeah. It was a blessing. It was truly a blessing. I told Tricia the minute we sat down, I said, look at this. Yeah. Friends, I love our church, and we have quite a bit of diversity. Amen. But I want to see more. Amen. As we go forward, I want to see more of that diversity and more of that zero social Christianity. It's all about Jesus. It's all about being redeemed. It's all about worship. Amen. Not about how we look or what we've accomplished in life or what our name is or what our background is or what our skin color is. All of this is out. I want it all put away because it's so much a demonstration of what the Prince of Peace can do in their lives. It's a picture of what heaven are going to be like. When the black and the white and the Hispanic and the Asian and the Indian all sit together in God's house. When the upper class and the working class and the lower class all pray together. Where the squeaky clean church-raised people, which is fine, but they share a pew with those who have been saved off Skid Row. Oh, you're going to like this one. Where the Democrats and the Republicans and the Independents are not on different sides of the aisle. You say, well, that can't happen. That's exactly why it hasn't happened. Right there. You know what? Republicans think the Democrats can't go to heaven. And Democrats think the Republicans came from hell. And they're both wrong. So tired of political divisions. We're Christians. So tired of racial tensions. We're Christians, first and foremost. The common denominator is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm tired of classifications. The wealthy and the unwealthy and the welfare group and this, that. Folks, it's all level ground at the foot of the cross. Amen. Jesus is the one that's lifted up. I hope you long to see these things in your church and in your life as well. And folks, if you don't, I'm just going to be honest with you. You're wrong. Yeah. Amen. If you don't want that diversity in your life, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You say, Brother Chris, you're being awful strong words this morning. Well, they're true. Yeah. You're wrong. If you're a Democrat and hate Republicans, you're wrong. If you're a Republican and hate Democrats, you're wrong. If you're white and you hate blacks, you're wrong. Yeah. If you're black and you hate whites, you're wrong. Yeah. If you're well off and you don't like poor people, you're wrong. If you're poor people and think all rich people are bad and part of the problem, then you're wrong. Yeah. It's level ground at the foot of the cross. I'm going to ask David to come. Maybe you're here this morning and some of this has touched your heart or spoken to you. Maybe you're here and you say, I just celebrated Jesus' birthday once again, but I really don't know Him. And friends, this is the day that you can come to know the one that Isaiah described to us, our mighty God. I'm going to ask you to stand. If God's spoken to your heart, come pray at this altar. If you need something from me, I'll be standing right here with my Bible. Nobody's going to be looking around. We'll have a verse of invitation.